Coming up on Simply Superior. You know that sound. The shipping season is back, but how do the crews on the ore boats and salties deal with the COVID-19 pandemic?
You can't just replace these people with anyone off the street. They have to not only be properly trained and educated in the maritime profession, but in many cases, they need a very intimate knowledge of that ship that they're going on.
Plus,
what do you believe in?
He's one of the Twin Ports' most versatile performers. Daniel Olien Lowe joins us for a virtual concert from his living room. And a devastating fire in Grand Marais, and Wisconsin voters turn out and make a major change on the state Supreme Court after this.
To understand the world we live in and the region we hold dear, by sharing the stories and information you'll enjoy and want to hear.
Yes, we definitely want you to keep your radio on. And if you do it for the next 20 minutes, you'll hear Daniel Olien Lowe sing the rest of that song and more of his hits as part of our ongoing series of local performing artists temporarily shut in because of the pandemic. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Before we hear Daniel's song about the end of the road, we'll talk about how the pandemic is affecting what's on the road, as well as the lake and the high seas. If you're home and you have a view of the lake out your window, or if you've social distanced yourself out to the Lake Walk or Wisconsin Point, you may have noticed the ore boats coming in or a salty sitting offshore. How is the pandemic affecting life on the boats? And what about land transportation, with truck drivers among the new everyday heroes for keeping your grocery shelves supplied, yet only if they can keep themselves safe on the road and when they make their stops? With us to talk about those issues and all things transportation is our resident expert, Richard Stewart, Professor of Transportation and Logistics at the University of Wisconsin-Superior and Director of the Transportation and Logistics Research Center. Welcome to Simply Superior.
Well, good morning to everyone. I hope that you're all staying healthy and happy during this very tumultuous time period. I'm delighted to be here, Robin.
So what's going on out there in the harbor?
We had the arrival of the first salty in the port of Duluth Superior. It's probably sitting at an anchor right now, awaiting its next cargo to take back out through the St. Lawrence Seaway. And the St. Lawrence Seaway is up and operating. But we noticed the ships right away, because of their size and structure, they cannot operate without human beings on them. And these are crews that come from a wide variety of nations. And one of the issues we're facing right now is replacement of them.
Mm-hmm. They can't stay on those boats forever.
Well, no, the typical time that most crews stay aboard ocean ships is from 2 to 4 months, sometimes a 6-month tour. And on average, throughout the world, every month, there's about 100,000 crew members who are being taken off of ships and being replaced by other crew members who are coming on. And you can't just replace these people with anyone off the street. They have to not only be properly trained and educated in the maritime profession, but in many cases, they need a very intimate knowledge of that ship that they're going on, because of the type of cargo it carries or where it's operating. For instance, on the Lakers, we need crews, deck officers who have pilotage for these waters, and they can't be replaced even by licensed ocean master mariners like myself, because we won't have the pilotage for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very specific requirements.
Right. And obviously, we're all concerned with our health. How do you know how they're doing on the boats? And if something is going on, what do you do about it? We know about the Theodore Roosevelt aircraft carrier. You know, how does it work on an ore boat or a salty?
Well, on merchant ships, and we're not talking about cruise ships here, or ships that carry a lot of passengers on overnight service, by international law, they'll be required to have medical personnel, a doctor on board, anytime you carry in excess of 13 or more passengers. On merchant ships, the only medical support that they'll be getting on board the ship comes from the licensed deck officers who will have limited medical training as part of their requirement for licensing.
And what kind of social distancing do they practice on board?
Well, they're going to be able to practice very little, actually, because the way the dining rooms are set up, the way the tasks you have to do, docking, undocking ships, things like this, you will be getting in relatively close proximity to the people aboard the ship. There's little you can do to avoid that. But these crew members will have been aboard the ship operating, in some cases, well in advance of the spread of the COVID-19. The issues that they're wrestling with on an international scale is the ship will come into a port. It will need to transfer out the old crew who's been on board for 4 months or more and bring in the new crew members. And as we all know, air service has been drastically reduced. And in many cases, countries will not allow these seamen to travel into the country to change out crews or travel out without being quarantined.
Right. I want to get into the effect that that will have on the cargo that they're carrying. But before I do that, I wanted to know, is there any real difference between the international crews and our own Laker crews? Because at this point, the United States is probably the hot spot of the COVID-19 virus.
Well, the differences are that, by and large, all of the personnel aboard the U.S. Lakers will be U.S. citizens, and aboard the Canadian citizens. So they'll have access to health care within that country. And the other aspect is that the medical responsibility for crew members and everything else rests on what we call the flag state. And the flag state is the country of registry of that ship. So when you see a Laker flying the American flag, that means that America is responsible providing health care, other resources, defense, and everything else for that vessel, because in effect, it is the soil of the United States. Now, if that ship is registered under what we call a flag of convenience, the Bahamas, Malta, Panama, Vanuatu.
Liberia is a favorite one, isn't it?
Yes, Liberia, all responsible for providing for the safety and health of the crewmen on board. Well, this has created some major difficulties because even in the best of times, these countries are not really capable of providing much service to the ships under their flag. The principal reason these exist is so that companies can set up corporations in these countries, not have to pay taxes, not have to pay Social Security, and meet minimum labor and environmental standards enforced under the international maritime labor laws. So when a ship comes into the United States that flies the U.S. flag, under international and national law, there's a requirement that they take care of those people, and they're indeed able to do so. Mm-hmm. Recently, one of the cruise ships that had COVID-19 cases on it, which is owned by a British company, but is under the Bahamian flag, needed to find a port to go into, and the Bahamas would not let them come into the port, even though it was registered under the Bahamian flag. And so it ended up ultimately going to Cuba in order to deal with it because the country of their own flag would not accept them.
My guest is Richard Stewart, professor of transportation and logistics at the University of Wisconsin-Superior and director of the Transportation and Logistics Research Center. And we're talking about the effects of the pandemic on shipping and the Great Lakes and beyond. The cruise ships cases, of course, go back to the very beginning of the virus back in January or so. But what about the ore boats and the salties in the Great Lakes? Have there been any COVID-19 cases there?
Well, I can't speak to the salties. I've heard nothing or have not seen anything in the journals that I read about outbreaks aboard the Lakers. I do know that the companies are very, very careful with the personnel, as are the unions that work within the Great Lakes. That's not to say there hasn't been. I just have not heard of any.
Sure.
The crewmen remain aboard the vessels. They, frankly, rarely go ashore. They're so busy working when the ship comes in. It's that interchange between shoreside personnel and shipboard personnel that needs to have social distancing and monitoring, and I'm quite certain that they're doing that in the Canadian and U.S. flag ships on the lakes.
Mm-hmm. That segues sort of into our next area, which is trucking. The truck drivers, of course, when they're in the cab by themselves, they're in the cab by themselves, but they have to get out of that truck at a certain point and interact with the people, the grocery store to whom they were delivering those groceries.
Well, if they're helping to load and unload the cargo, they'll be getting out of the trucks. Otherwise, they'll back up to the loading dock and the grocery store. Others will unload that product. There will try to be minimal interchange as much as possible done electronically, but they will have to ascertain that the correct products were taken off the trucks. But you have other contacts, and that's when you're getting fuel. Unless you are in a sleeper cab, you're going to have to rest somewhere. You're only allowed so many hours of work under federal law before you must take a rest. Typically, truck stops will provide some of these services, showers, areas to sleep. If they don't, you have to pull off into a rest area, and that's where you stay in the truck. But you're going to use bathroom facilities and other things, and how well they're sanitized and maintained, that becomes a different topic.
Right. And even though your cab may be someplace completely by yourself, first of all, you don't have running water.
Well, you don't have running water. You have no way for anyone to monitor your condition. From what we're hearing about some of these cases, they could become debilitating quite rapidly, and that individual may not be able to get out and seek medical assistance or let someone know that they need it. That's an issue. In part because when they have to pull over and stop in a location, truck drivers are almost uniformly, with some exceptions, paid by the mile. So they try and drive as long as they can before they have to take the required breaks. And when they pull over, it may be in a, and you've seen them as you've driven along, a somewhat remote location.
Mm-hmm. What, again, is the impact of this? We all know about the toilet paper raids, but that's more of a demand issue than a supply. But, you know, how well is the supply chain keeping up?
That's a major question. And it, as you pointed out, it depends upon the product that you're moving. The food supply seems to be moving fairly well. There are some concerns as if this spreads to the truck drivers. And once again, you cannot just hire somebody off the street to drive a 18-wheeler. And we started off pre-COVID-19 with a shortage of truck drivers. It's not a profession that people naturally gravitate to any more than going to sea or the other transportation professions. And so as unlike the airline industry, where it's optional whether you go or not, the trucking industry and maritime are not optional. The first and last mile of everything moves by truck, and 90% of everything that moves around the world goes by ship. So we have to have these essential businesses operating, and we're starting to see an increasing shortfall of skilled personnel to take on the duties.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cargo we need. Can we carry non-essential items? Well, we're seeing a number of ports, L.A., Long Beach, operating nowhere near capacity, which they had been, some at a fraction of the operation, even laying off longshoremen because we're moving what's essential cargo, and non-essential cargo is not being moved.
Mm-hmm. Non-essential cargo might be what you bring back, right, on a two-way trip so that you don't deadhead empty. When I go over the bridge and I see our windmill parts, I don't think they're moving right now, right? They're not quite essential, or are they?
Well, I can't answer that question because I haven't talked to the port recently to see what they're moving. But cargo that puts food on our table and the energy we need and the medical supplies we need will be the essential items that we have to have. Non-essential items that aren't moving may be toys. They may be devices we would need to have fun with, such as ATVs, but aren't absolutely essential for most people's life. The axiom is it's always great to operate transportation assets full both ways, but you need to have cargo for which there's a demand.
Right. And that would have an economic impact too, right? Because you may not have an equal number of essential items going both ways on the cargo ship.
That's correct. And what we call lane imbalance typically drives up the freight rates for both inbound and outbound cargo.
I know you don't have a crystal ball, but is there a magic number or date by when things have to get back?
My crystal ball is as cloudy as everybody else's. It depends upon the companies, and it depends upon what their cash balance is. And I'll give you a very good example is we tend to think of the ships, the trucks, the planes, but all of these are supported by a wide variety of secondary businesses who may or may not own any assets. These will be your freight forwarders, your cargo expediters, your exporters who make all the arrangements to enable the cargo to get to the ship or truck or train and move. If there isn't cargo to be moved, then these people will be laid off. Now the question becomes, as our economy rebounds, which it will, I can say that with absolute certainty, it will rebound in time. Will it be a sharp V upward spike or will it be a gradual? That I can't say. But they're going to have to be able to bring these people back with the expertise and technology capabilities to get more and more cargo moving.
Our guest again is Richard Stewart, Professor of Transportation and Logistics at the University of Wisconsin-Superior and Director of the Transportation and Logistics Research Center. You just talked about demand and essential. I think the ultimate not essential, certainly right now, is a cruise trip. And a lot of people are not terribly sympathetic to the cruise companies. You mentioned earlier about the ships having flags of countries of convenience. But a cruise at the moment, or even on a good day, is not necessarily an essential trip. But they do have an impact on the economy.
Well, until COVID-19 came about, cruising was the fastest growing sector of the global tourism industry. A new cruise ship was being built about every 47 days. That gives you an idea of how the demand was growing. Now, right now, media, other groups have basically offered the viewpoint that cruise ships are petri dishes as far as disease. Well, keep in mind, the cruise ship industry over the past 25 years has survived SARS, Legionnaire's disease, the Costa Concordia tragedy, groundings, collisions. Even in New Zealand, bad cruise passengers die with the volcanic eruption on White Island. Nevertheless, the cruise industry has been growing, adapting to these, and the bookings continue.
Somebody wants to take a cruise, right? We do have some cruises that go through Lake Superior?
Yes, we certainly do. And this early February, I attended the Great Lakes Waterways Conference where they had one of the cruise industries talking about the tremendous growth market that exists on the Great Lakes as far as they saw. And I tend to agree with them, having done research over the years on this. back in about 1908, we were running over a million passengers a year, overnight passengers on the Great Lakes. We don't even begin to touch those numbers in our very best years recently. So there is the potential for a tremendous growth market on cruising on the Great Lakes.
Well, as we wrap up here, I want to go back to the boats that we're more familiar with, the oar boats. And as a positive takeaway, I am trying my best to accentuate the positives while being very realistic about what's going on. You have not heard of any COVID-19 cases aboard?
Not aboard the vessels, no, but you mentioned earlier demand and its impact on the Lakers. On April 13th, Cleveland Cliffs announced that they were going to be closing down their North Shore plant and not reopening it until probably August, based on the declining demand for taconite pellets in the mills on the lower lakes. Once those stockpiles are depleted, there simply won't be demand for Lakers to carry iron ore southbound.
And as you are constantly reminding us and accentuating, nothing that happens in transportation happens in a vacuum.
No, as we teach from the very beginning, all transportation is a derived demand. Somebody needs a ship, a truck, a plane to move cargo. If there's not a need to move it, there's not a need for the transportation.
All right. We've been speaking with Richard Stewart, Professor of Transportation and Logistics at the University of Wisconsin-Superior and Director of the Transportation and Logistics Research Center. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Stay healthy and happy.
You too. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Daniel Oyenlowe is a musician, artist, storyteller, poet, and community organizer. He arrived in the U.S. with his family from his native Nigeria in 2002 at the age of 15. His first break as a musician came when he joined the rap band 218. I wonder what that stands for. He also performed under the names DSP, Tommy Dan, Goody Goody, and Seyi. He and his wife Sandra are the parents of 7-month-old Jaleel, who you probably hear running around in the background of their Duluth home. Welcome to Simply Superior.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And I have to say, your aliases fooled me when I was introducing one of your songs that was on Virtual Duluth the other week when we did a program about it. It was under your byline of Seyi, and I said, I wonder if that's a relative of Daniel.
Well, Seyi is my middle name, actually. I go by Daniel Oluwaseyi Oyinloye, and Seyi is the last part of the middle name. The full name means God has done it. And growing up in Nigeria, that's the name my mom, friends, everyone called me. So it's like the household name. It's more casual. So in bringing my last album, I felt I wanted to be introducing myself as a casual person to the community.
Mm-hmm. What about those other guys, DSP and Tommy Dan? I knew
DSP.
Goody Goody.
Yeah, when I first moved here to the United States, the first thing I did was get a job at Dairy Queen while working at the high school, South High School.
And in Minneapolis?
In Minneapolis, yes. Mm-hmm. I used the money to buy a video camera, and everywhere I went, I was filming something. So my friends started calling me Daniel Show Productions because I always made a show out of it. Everything I did, I just called it DSP, and it caught on for a while. But I'm like, that's cool, but I want you to meet me.
And then Tommy Dan, we're going to go through all these now. You open the door. So.
Tommy Dan was in Nigeria. Going to school in Nigeria, all the boys, we were obsessed with Kung Fu movies. And so that was my Kung Fu name in Nigeria with my friends in Nigeria.
All right. And Goody Goody, again, I remember this back when you were graduating UMD.
Yes. Goody Goody was out of a persona, personally. At that point in my life, when I released the album Goody Goody and took on the persona Goody Goody, it was more like we were very ambitious, myself, Charles OBJ, Amy Anoni, Il Mike, Ovioso, the band members of 218. And we had done a lot of work in different places. We traveled to Texas. We've gone to the studio in Minneapolis and back. And so a lot of those days weren't always easy. And I found humor in just the term goody-goody. We were making a joke one day, and I said, that's goody. And it stuck because it's like it just gave me a sense of relief and peace. So I wanted to, that album was about, again, having fun, relief, mm-hmm. and peace. And so I just took on the persona Goody Goody, and a lot of people started calling me the Goody Goody Master. So,
all right, and apparently won't go away. So.
Nope, it's still not gone away. It's still there.
What about all the different creative expressions that you adapt? So, as I introduced you, musician, artist, storyteller. In fact, your bio, your official webpage, didn't even say poet, but we've used some of your poetry on the air and probably will again. So, so tell us about those and which ones do you like best and why all those different forms instead of concentrating on one?
The way I see it is storytelling. I found myself through storytelling. So a lot of that for me is just trying to figure out like what works for the now. Spoken word has been much more prevalent in the last like 4 or 5 years for me than in the past, although I recorded a lot of poems back in my day, but I never made an album of poetry. I just did it for me. But later on, I realized when you want to push a lot of those things away, like if I don't have access to the recording studio, if I don't have access to a video camera, do I stop? Art is endless, and with more tools and more ways of using it, you could find yourself in a whole new genre. And then you start learning how to use the equipment, how to condense the story or expand the story. So I always viewed it as storytelling, and I never was afraid to jump into any genre of storytelling. And so which do I like best? I don't know, but I think what stands out the most to me is filmmaking, because it gives me the most time to sit on content and to process content. Then music would be the second, and then poetry, and then goes down from there.
And then the other one you have on your website is community organizer.
Yeah, because I realize that I feel a sense of responsibility as an artist. Part of what we do as artists, even with you right now, is you're going to have my layer of sound and your layer of sound, and you're going to organize it, and you're going to cut out some things maybe, and you're going to do certain things that a lot of what we do.
Oh, we're going to run every word we say, every stumble. You didn't know that, did you?
Like, as artists, we could do that, yes. We could run the raw copies. But a lot of what we're doing is organizing thoughts, feelings, or expressing it, or letting it come out in a certain way. And I think that transcends into organizing itself, how we see things. When we go out there, when we look out, what needs to be in this space? Is there a voice that is missing? Is there something that we need to cater to? So I view my community organizing just like I view my art. I try to find the narrative, the story that needs to be highlighted there. I try to find how we could give the tools to people to tell their own stories. So I think as artists, we are activists. We are community organizers. And the more we see ourselves as that, the more effective we could be in that as well.
All right. Well, we're speaking with musician, artist, storyteller, poet, and community organizer Daniel Oyinlowe. As I said, he's also known by a whole bunch of other names, one being Seyi. This is the one that confused me the other week when we were playing selections that were on Virtual Duluth. This is The End of the Road. Tell us a little bit about this to set it up.
The song, If This Was the End of the Road, like when after the coronavirus started and it was spreading across the United States and the shutdown began, I was sitting home with the family hanging out. It was one of those days we were all just on our own computers. I was doing music on my computer and I started making that beat. As that beat kept coming, I started writing. And the first things that came to my mind is, what if this was the end of the road? You could take it anyway. I decided to keep it in a metaphor because I felt it's kind of like that's music. It's metaphor. It's the feeling that you feel of not feeling like you could go past a certain point. And so I figured, what would I do? And I thought, well, I wanted to make music. I'll turn up my radio and I'm going to sing and I'm going to scream, because that's the feeling of liberation to me, is that idea of wanting to be in a place that you belong. And that's what home is.
Well, let's hear it. If This Was the End of the Road.
This was the end of the road. Keep my radio on.
you with the goody goody master. Shady and we goody goody rappers. Work hard so we don't work backwards. Still Afro, bring it back up. Soundtrack to my life, feel the rhythm. Most rap guys leave quick as they come. Pick up the lid of my bigger vision. Still couldn't foresee what Jehovah has done. Pray for the truth, then the flood came. Gotta stay in tune with his love, man. Some days I sing in my old way. Gotta give praise to my old age. Even in a rush, I slow pace. Gotta stay fresh, no cold gate. No competition, minores. It's the end of the road, like bro say. Turn the radio up while I sing. Long as I heard my lungs out. Scream. Sing every song like the last one. If this was the end of the road,
keep my radio on. Scream at the top of my lungs. Take me home.
And that was If This Was the End of the Road by Seyi Oyinlowe, also known as Daniel, who we're speaking with from his home in Duluth. And so I understand there have been quite a few covers of that already on Virtual Duluth, and who knows what. This is not just the song, but the music video, which is, I have to say, just darling cute, of you dancing with your wife, Sandra, and your seven-month-old son. How many covers so far?
So we have, I think, 7 covers, and I'm still waiting for a few more. Folks have recorded, but they don't like the recording, and they're re-recording.
And it's sort of a challenge, too, right? It's become a thing, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be simple, but, I mean, we set the bar high with all the lights in the video. Mm-hmm. So folks are feeling like, well, since your video was this way, we're going to do the best we can without.
Well, that's part of interpretation. So, how about Something to Believe? Tell us about this.
Oh, man, Something to Believe was out of the album Dawn of Redemption, which was in 2013 for me. 2013 was the year I lost my dad, and at the time I also lost my girlfriend, a serious relationship that I was in at the time. You know, at that time also I had applied for a ton of jobs in Minneapolis, but I didn't get them. It felt like a ton of rejection. So it's like, you have a line of rejection in your life, and you keep thinking that nothing matters, nothing, what you've been taught about God and faith didn't matter. But in that moment, you started realizing that the whole world was open to you, that God had provided friends for you, people who modeled what your dad even believed in, nature, and people were willing to guide me and to become mentors in my life. And so, yes, I lost my dad. Yes, I lost someone I really cared about in a serious relationship with, but the world opened up to me even more with so much love.
All right. Something to Believe by Daniel Oyinlowe.
Something to believe in. Yeah.
Love, epitome of timeless. Everyone you've ever loved, either dead or heartless. And you're wondering what's left, like a hungry pirate. Hurting people you love without even trying. Like you're stuck in the present and you're no more dreaming. You've given up on love, now you're no more giving. Objective purpose to life. What do you believe in, homie? You no more living life.
What do you believe in?
Sitting here caught up in a hold up. Life is.
Relevance of world about eternity and less about the elegance. Rooted in the heart, deception.
crushing all the dreams of being. So I realize I'm just a human being. Therefore, realizing the gift of God, the belief in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit given.
City is caught up in a hold up. Life is a mystery.
Strange to any one of us, therefore to find reason by willing to love every one of us. And what this truly means is beyond the product lines. Let time take time to make a solid line. I believe that Jesus is the reason to believe in the Father.
City is caught up in a hold up. Life is a mystery.
I get to tell you what he done for me, he done for you. I get to shout hallelujah cause I'm feeling good in you. I get to testify, showing you some love it. My reflection's done to pray cause Lord knows I'm broken. You admire my living cause I know I'm falling. No, I'm not so different from you, but if you ask to love what I believe in, please come share with me. Don't need no silver.
We've just heard Something to Believe by Daniel Oyen Loiwe, who we're speaking with by phone, as he is sheltered in place with his family in his home in Duluth. We've talked about this with a few of the artists that we've had on. On the one hand, people are doing virtual concerts. They're appearing on the radio. We very much appreciate that. And not all of it is just volunteer work. Some people are doing pretty well on the donate button. So we encourage everybody to support your local artists. At some point, we will get back to normal. But you think this is going to continue? And, you know, the good parts about it, a few artists have discovered, hey, Facebook Live is a pretty good venue. You know, it's better than some concert halls I've been to. I'm very much trying to accentuate the positive here.
I think the greatest part of being indoors is just the reconnecting with family, with some things that you might not spend so much time with. And it's a good thing to me in that respect. But that social connection when it comes to like being able to perform in front of a person and see their eyes and see how they feel and how they react to it, there's a part to that that is missing, you know, that is like, that I miss as well. And not just that, but also like just being around company of people and hearing different types of laughs and different types of, you know, expressions. I think that's the part that is kind of eerie about this whole thing is it's like all of it is gone for now. And I'm hoping that that the curve would happen and there would be a better way to manage the virus. And
well, get a vaccine would be good too. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So that's where I'm at right now. Is I miss the social perspective, but at the same time, I've always been an introvert, so I'm cool with this. But this is not how the world should be. And I feel like, you know, when things go back to normal, well, as normal would get,
Right.
I think that there's got to be a level of understanding that we have that balance. When you feel introverted or when you feel like I have something I want to share with the world, but I don't want to be in front of the world, and I'm working on it. It might not be perfect yet. I think it's a good time to do a virtual show, and it's what I...
Right. By your choice doing it as opposed to because we have to. So we're speaking with musician, artist, storyteller, poet, and community organizer Daniel Oyenloiwe. Take us out with one more song, Try Me, Test Me, and tell us what that's about.
Love one another, look out for one another, yeah. Try me, try me. The song is about loving one another. It's about, you know, like everyone in your space right now, if you're with your roommates, if you're with friends, family, if you're with a stranger, if you just the idea is about just looking to the person next to you and serving them and loving them and being patient and doing all those characteristics of the things that you want people to do to you.
All right. And one more most important question, where can people see your work?
So Shayi Stories, at Shayi Stories for both Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and at Dance Fan Creators for Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter.
And Shayi Stories is spelled S-E-Y-I Stories?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Here's Try Me, Test Me.
Love one another. Look out for one another, yeah. Serve one another, hey. Protect one another, yeah. He said, try me, try me. Go ahead, you've been waiting to test me. I'll bless you, test me. Yes, yes, I'll bless you, test me. Love one another. Look out for one another, yeah. Serve one another, protect one another. Try me, try me. Go ahead, you've been waiting to test me. I'll bless you, test me. Yes, yes, I'll bless you, try me. Love one another. Look out for one another, yeah. Serve one another, protect one another, yeah. Say, try me, try me. You've been waiting to test me, test me. I'll bless you, test me. Yes, yes, I'll bless you, yeah. Test me.
Freedom, ding dong, kingdom, welcome. Wisdom, income, my turn, welcome. Give some, take some, give some. Someone, someone, system, victim. Mainstream, symptom, kicked him, tricked him, killed him. Takes her, makes her, rapes her, bullshit. Justice, trust us, let us, free us. Give us, watch us, thank you, welcome.
We fighting for liberation. Fix the system, not the population. Youth, youth, emancipation. Pay attention, observation. Beast, craves, what domination? Inflation, what a contamination. Read the book of Revelation. Find peace over damnation. Peace in my imagination. Don't believe me? Reservations. Solidarity over isolation. Motivation, inspiration. Not the count of information. It's a gift, this salvation. Elevation, celebration. Plant seeds that feeds generation.
Every setup needs a punchline. That's the type of shit I co-sign. See, it's like being drunk, I'm punchline. To be sober now, that's this girl's plan. Show me love, I'll be just fine. Good love, real love, penny fine wine. Refine, define, watch your boy shine. That's your boy's sign to say, girl, your boy fine. Many years, I'm still in line. Still doing what I love, never resign. Blow up every day like a line mine. See, I show up every day, I'm in cloud nine. Branch on the vine, to be inclined. To work hard, realign. Stay focused, being good pace. And that's what really, really defines. Many blessings from the Lord, yeah, I was designed. Trajectory, victory, ministry, freedom, kingdom, wisdom, income. Welcome, justice, just love, just joy. Listen now, why should I decline?
Love one another, look out for one another, yeah. Serve one another, hey. Protect one another, yeah. He said, try me, try me. Go ahead, you've been waiting to test me. I'll bless you, test me. Yes, yes, I'll bless you, test me. Love one another. Look out for one another, yeah. Serve one another. Protect one another. Try me, try me. Go ahead, you've been waiting to test me. I'll bless you, test me. Yes, yes, I'll bless you, try me. Love one another.
one another. Look out for one another, yeah. Serve one another. Protect one another, yeah. Said, try me, try me. You've been waiting to test me, test me. I'll bless you, test me. Yes, yes, I'll bless you, test me. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another, yeah.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for joining us. So before we get into our regional weekly digest of COVID-19 news, there was a pretty big story in the northern reaches of our listening area that was, for once, unrelated to the pandemic. Tell us what was going on in Grand Marais.
Oh, a real terrible thing happened up there. A fire took three businesses, among them the Crooked Spoon Cafe, and left it just completely demolished, along with the Crooked Spoon, the Picnic and Pine and White Pine North, two gift shops were fully engulfed and destroyed. No injuries, thankfully, but a big hit for a town that relies on businesses for a lot of its municipal revenue.
Right. And of course, tourism, although right now they're not entertaining tourism, and like many communities also in Northwest Wisconsin, they've been saying don't come here at the moment. And clearly, right, if extraneous people, if you don't mind me calling them that, showed up right now, would be even a bigger drain on the resources.
It could be, right. People have been told to stay away, and you know, and already Grand Marais businesses were bracing for you know, road construction coming to Highway 61, which we reported on a few months ago. This summer, you know, it's going to be, for those who can make the trip, or maybe we will be able to at some point, it's going to be more difficult than usual.
Well, if you go a little bit further north, there was a connection to the pandemic after all. What was going on in the Boundary Waters?
Yeah, on Wednesday, the Superior National Forest said they would be closing the wilderness area until May 4th to coincide with the governor's stay-at-home order in Minnesota. So what that means is, you know, no day trips, no overnight trips. They are shutting down the 1 million acre wilderness area to pretty much any access, except making exceptions for tribal members whose treaty rights allow them in certain areas. I talked with some outfitters up there, and they said, you know, it's not in a particularly busy time of year, so this closure, it doesn't hurt them, you know, in this 2 week, 3 week window. What might hurt them is the lingering uncertainty over, is it going to reopen May 5th, like they're saying? Are people going to be forced to stay home another month? You know, it's hard to say if the governor's going to extend this again. So what they're nervous about is, you know, they've got a lot of reservations for the summer. People really want to get out, certainly, but they are just really just like hoping to get some clarity, you know, and get through the pandemic and either entertain a normal or above average amount of people, or see what it means for business if not.
Right. And then, of course, the key word in Boundary Waters is boundary, and we still have the border closed to Canada. So, you know, that's the one area you could take a canoe and go back and forth between countries about 10 times one day.
Right.
You know, those restrictions, at least for now, are still in place. So, well, on the Wisconsin side, the big news that was and wasn't pandemic related was the election way back on April 7th, for which the returns just came in this past Tuesday. WPR political reporter Sean Johnson tells of the surprising result in the state Supreme Court race, in which Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky, who was backed by Democrats, overwhelmingly defeated Justice Daniel Kelly, the conservative incumbent.
Given the way both parties fought over whether to even hold the April election, it seemed unclear which side had the edge. That was exacerbated by last Tuesday's in-person voting, when voters and poll workers wore masks and gloves to cast their ballots. Voters stood in line for hours despite public health warnings to avoid large crowds. Karofsky said in a video conference speech that she was moved by their support.
You know, a lot of times on election day, we're wringing our hands because we're so upset about voter apathy. That wasn't the problem on Tuesday. People wanted their voices heard.
Karofsky's win trims the conservative majority on the court to 4-3. It also means 6 out of 7 of the justices will be women. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So, Brooks, in Superior, there was a referendum item that was actually, again, something that was not pandemic-related.
Right. A Superior City Councilor put a referendum on the ballot to ask voters, should ATVs and UTVs be allowed on city streets? The voters who turned out overwhelmingly said no, and that pretty much puts the issue to rest. When I reported on this in December, I was very intrigued by, you know, the patchwork of different regulations in both Minnesota and Wisconsin. Depending on where you are, that governs where and how you can ride your ATV. So if you're getting out there, please check the laws.
All right. Well, that's our roundup of the regional news. We've been speaking with Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin.
And you can read those stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/North Report. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If we all could use a hug these days, but we're struggling to do so beyond those we're sheltering in place with, can we try a musical one? Christina Cotruvo is a therapeutic harper, and she calls the harp one of the best therapeutic instruments, with its resonance and overtones. We certainly agree. Stay healthy and safe, everyone.